application this morning. And 1 Samuel chapter 17. You know, perspective, you know, how we look at things, it can differ. And it's very, very important. It can differ from one person to another. How an adult looks at things and how children look at things, certainly different perspectives. And we act or react accordingly, according to our perspective, how we look at things. It's very, very important how we do. Most often, having the right perspective about something provides for good results. Having the wrong perspective usually yields trouble. Looking at things wrong, not looking at things the way God looks at them. So our perspective is very, very important. And our perspectives are guided by the Word of God. As you and I spend time in the Word of God, how we assess things, how we look at things, what our perspectives are affected accordingly. We want to see things the way God sees things. And if we see things the way God sees them, we'll give value to the proper things and devalue those things that are really not all that important. In this story, this particular story, we see the Israelites and David looking at the problem of Goliath with different perspectives. Same giant, same person, over 9 feet tall, big mouth, big biceps. Well, you get the picture. But they looked at him differently. In this passage, I see three different factors that affect the perspectives of those involved. Now, let's revisit the background. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 1, and we'll just get a little bit of background here. Verse 1, now, the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shokoth, which belonged to Judah, and pitched between Shokoth and Azekah in Ephedezam. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood off a mountain on the side, on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battles in array? Are not I a Philistine and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Now, Goliath here is a giant, and he's threatening. And he's threatening the well-being of Israel. And the fact of the matter is, in life, the reason God put this story in here is that you and I might relate to the fact that we all face giants in life. Some of you are facing giants right now in your life, and we don't know about them. You still smile, you come, you still shake hands. You're kind, you're cordial, but you're carrying great weight. It's a battle that's waging. Sometimes our giants are influential people who oppose us. They're an authority over us, like bosses, perhaps teachers, maybe it's fellow workers or even family members who have pressure on us. There's fear and intimidation involved. And it's a giant. You're not getting any victory. And in fact, you're more fearful than you were when it started. Sometimes our giants are habitual sins that we have trouble standing up to or overcoming. There's a big giant in front of you. I want to have victory, but I keep finding myself falling to the same sin, to the same temptation. It's a giant in my life. Some of our giants are the opinion of others. We don't want to go against popular opinion. And boy, what pressure there is in our society today to be of this persuasion or that persuasion. Some of our giants are difficult circumstances that threaten to overwhelm us. We don't know what the answer is. And from our perspective, we're overwhelmed. Sometimes our giants are illnesses, either in ourselves or in those whom we love. That's something we have a hard time getting a handle on, to get victory over it. It's like it's going to knock us out of the picture. Sometimes our giants are huge financial problems. Just don't know how we're going to dig our way out. Just as the giant Goliath was real, so too are the giants in our lives just as real. They pose just as much threats to our well-being, and God never intended for that. He allows for things in our lives, but to strengthen us and to encourage our faith and our walk with Him, that we might hold His hand. God wants you to have a victory over every giant in your life. There's a few factors that I want to consider this morning regarding perspective. Number one, let's consider the fear factor. Big deal when it comes to giants. It was to the Israelites, was to Saul. And it can be to you in your life. Saul and the rest of the Israelite army were terrified. They were filled with fear. Nobody wanted to face this giant. Again, verse 11. The Bible says, when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And that can be part of our problem with our giants as well. We may live in fear of these giants. We can allow them to intimidate us. We might choose to run from them instead of facing them. In fact, according to verse 24, running is exactly what Israel did when Goliath came out to challenge them. Look at verse 24. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. Fear is one of the most paralyzing forces known to man. People are often gripped with fear. When gripped with fear, renders them totally ineffective. And they have no means to fight, to battle, to gain victory. That's why a lot of Christians don't pass out tracts or talk to people about Jesus and witness. Fear. Fear is a very powerful thing. That fear factor is involved in most everybody's life, if we're not careful. But there's other factors involved. Consider the focus factor, that of perspective, how we look at things. Whereas you see here where David enters the story, he had been home tending his father's sheep. He's then sent to the battlefield to bring provisions to his brothers to get a report on the battle. And as David arrived, the battle for the day was about to start. And pick it up with me at verse 12. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons. And the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. He was old by this time. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next unto him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren. And carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, And look how thy brethren fare and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. That's a joke. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him, obedience. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. So then David now, he witnesses Goliath's daily taunt that had now been going on for weeks, 40 days. He also witnessed the fear on the part of the Israelites. Look at 23 and 24. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. Now the king had made offers of reward for anyone who would defeat the giant. We see that in verse 25. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel has he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. Well, amen. But now we're talking about focus or perspective. Saul's focus, Saul's perspective, and the focus of the Israelite army was not on defeating the giant. Else some action would have occurred. They were set their battles in array. Day after day after day, the same thing continued. They weren't moving to win, to defeat the giant. Their focus was on self-preservation. Saul and the rest of the army would not face the giant personally because from their perspective, it was better to be cowardice and alive than honorable and dead. Their focus was on self and not on God. And can I tell you, the giants that you and I face in our lifetime, when we are defeated, it's because the focus is not on our God, the focus is on ourself and our self-preservation. David's focus was different. Look at verse 26. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to this man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach of Israel from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? David wasn't focused on self-preservation. He was focused on the glory of God. What are you focused on? When you're facing a giant, you're focused on yourself more often than not. David asked, who is this unbeliever that he should defy the armies of the living God? In other words, what right does this guy have to intimidate God's people? David's focus included the thought that God was far more powerful than Goliath. And David saw the issue as God's issue. The glory of God, God's glory was at stake. That's what his perspective was. That's why everything was different from David. How you face the giants in your life, your perspective matters greatly. Whether you'll see victory or not. Rather than being intimidated and backed up with fear, never gaining victory. Christian, what right does any giant have to rule in your life? You're a child of the king who owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. He wants you to have victory. When you give in to the giants of your life, you're denying God the glory. Do you realize that? He deserves the glory for the victory in your life. He wants you and I to have victory, to be victorious over every giant and any giant in our lives through him. That ultimately we say, praise God, thank you, Jesus. Rather than being feared, intimidated. And this was the perspective that David had. but not the Israelite army, and not Saul. They were denying God's glory. Do you see that? By not trusting in him. When you stand up to the giants in your life, you invite God to fight your battle, and he will provide the victory, and the glory will be his. 1 John 4:4 was read earlier. Ye are of God, little children. Ye are of God, little children. Ye are of God, who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, who created the universe. You're his, little children. You're one of his. And have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What a great verse. We're to have victory over every giant in our life. Now, here's a word of warning. You start to focus on the real issue in facing giants, which is the glory of God. There will be people who will oppose you or think you're nuts. Or perhaps their pride is offended. We see that with his brother, David's brother, Eliab. He accused him of meddling. Remember? Look at verses 28 and 29. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride, the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? It wasn't self-preservation to David. The cause, his perspective, was the cause was not for him, like it was for his brother Eliab. This whole manifestation, this attack on his younger brother David, was because of self, because of self-pride. You little twerp. You're making me look bad. That's what it comes down to. He was worried about him. His little brother was as much a giant in his life as Goliath was. And all he could do is get loud and bemean him. Put him down. There'll be those that don't agree, don't see it the same way. David accused him. Meddling. People, or the devil, or even you yourself, can tell you that you're not able. You're not able to do what you're supposed to do. You're not able to be a part of things they're doing at the church. There's John Rome said, you can't do that. You can't attend all service. You can't tithe. You can't witness. You can't do this. You can't do a lot of things. Hey, focus on the glory of God. Put your perspective in line with God and God's glory. Why do you do these things? Why are you here this morning? That God might receive glory in your life? That it might receive praise when you sing? That it might be honored when you respond an invitation to him personally, giving him glory? Or did you come to hear something good? I hope the choir is good today. I hope the preacher's not long-winded. Why did you come? The perspective, the focus should be on the glory of God. God wants me here. He has something for me. And as I praise and worship him, he will bless me and strengthen me, encourage me in my battles with the giants of my life. And I will have victory. And he will get the glory. Let's not be like the Israelites. Woe is me. I'll only step out this far because this is where safety is. Fear, that fear factor, it can be very real. With a focus on the glory of God. Hey, Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do all things. I don't care what the giant is in your life. You can have victory. That sin that has plagued you all your life, you can have victory. You say, I don't know. Yes, you can. Don't be fearful. Get the right perspective. It's not about you. Yeah, but I want to. It's not about you. God gets glory when you get victory over that sin. The perspective that it's about God and His glory, that is why I exist. That is why you exist. And you have that perspective instead of the perspective of how it affects me or what it's going to cost me. You see, changes everything. David got the victory. Saul told David that he was incapable. Remember 31 to 33. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." No fear factor in David. And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." You can't do it, David. You can't do it. He's too big. In David's mind, he's too big to miss. Perspective. How you see things. And the more time we spend in the Bible on our knees, the better perspective we have on things. And God always wants victory that he might receive glory. The glory is never ours. The glory was not David's. He gave the glory to God. But sometimes we sink back in fear. One of the great reasons we fail to see more victories over giants because we deem them to be impossible. We believe like Saul or the armies of Israel. We forget the scriptures. Luke 1:37, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Luke 18:27, "And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God." And it was read earlier, Jeremiah 32:17, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." Does God want victory in your life? Does he want you to succeed? Does he want you to get victory over your giants? Absolutely. Absolutely. And you can have. You put fear aside, you put perspective, him first, you second. The glory of God is at stake. Is there not a cause? With an incorrect focus comes the effects of a fear, of the fear factor. With the correct focus, the fear factor is eliminated. There's no fear in David. There was no fear. Can you imagine a stripling, a young fella, teenager? All these men, their knees are banging one against the other in fear and running. The armies of God running. But they were concerned about themselves. It was all about self-preservation. And that perspective, we got to be very careful to guard against. Because when you begin to put God first and what he thinks about this, what's in it for God when I do this? When I do good, praise. When I do wrong, a black mark, a black eye for God. God gets no glory. There's victory to be had over every giant. So David's perspective was not one of fear, but one of faith. And that's what's required. It's how you get saved, by faith. And that's how you live victoriously, by faith. He's not the God of fear. He's a God of victory. And he gets glory when we lean upon him by faith for the victory, for wisdom, for strength, for encouragement, for all that we need to win in the battles over the giants of our life. Because David focused on the issue of God's glory being at stake, he had the faith that God would give him the victory. David remembered past victories. Remember the lion and the bear that the Lord had given him. He trusted by faith that God would continue to deliver him by giving him victory over Goliath. Goliath had no right to intimidate Israel. he could and would be stopped, David's position. Look at verse 34 through 37. And David said to Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God, not to seeing that he has challenged me or has scared me." His perspective was on his God. This is the motivation that you and I are supposed to live by. Will God get glory out of this? David said, moreover, 37, "The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." He didn't believe that for one second. Go ahead. God be with you. It's perspective. I'll never see David again. He's going to squeeze him and squash him like a bug. Fear. What about the black eye your God was getting because you were so in fear leading your people? This young stripling would come along because of faith, had no fear. Because of faith, his focus was on his God. That's how we're to weigh everything in our lives. Is God getting glory out of me in this situation? Does he want to? Does he want me to have victory that I might praise his name and tell others about what God did for me? Yeah, that's the God of the Bible. Saul meant well. He gave David his armor for protection, but it was too big, too bulky for David. In truth, sometimes people would try to help in our fight with our giants, but the help may be at times a reliance more on human wisdom and not on God. As it's towards God and about God, that's good counsel. That's good wisdom. That's good help. David took with him what he knew how to use. He took his sling. Goliath was unimpressed and even insulted and gave David a good cursing out in verses 40 to 44. David confronted Goliath in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. 45, look at that one. Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." David was confident that God would get the glory. David was also confident that the Israeli army would discover that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. That the army would be encouraged to know the truth. And that's what you and I are supposed to do for others who are facing giants, to encourage them that strength is found, victory is found in God. Look at verse 47. "And all this assembly shall know," David says, "that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." He wanted the whole assembly, all of the soldiers, to know that it wasn't about him, it was about his God. That honors God, that pleases God. David won the battle using what seemed to be an insufficient weapon, a slingshot. But David won the battle because his confidence, his faith, was in the Lord. And it's God that got the glory. The giants in our lives are to be fought and won with the same faith that David had. May we be reminded of 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God. Ye are of God, little children. You're God's children. God won't let anything happen to you that he doesn't allow. These giants that come into your life, whether it's our own doings or others, he wants you to have victory. You're of God. And we're to overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Hey, Christian, you got fears? You got giants? You fighting one right now? What's your focus? You want victory? Set your focus correctly. Your perspective should be on the glory of God. Is God getting glory out of my life? I know he wants glory. God, help me to make wise decisions that you might get glory. And I will praise your name everywhere because it's not about me. It's about the God who saved me and whom I serve. Exercise your faith, Christian. Call upon your God. I'll close with Psalm 46, verses 1 to 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though, now get these those, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, we will not fear. You see, because God is our strength and God is our refuge. And dropping down in Psalm 46 to verse 10, it says, be still and know that I am God. And by the way, ye are of God, little children. Let's bow our heads.